Hey, this is Pastor Garlock from First Christian Church in King City, Missouri. We're glad that you found our podcast, and we pray that the contents of this podcast are a blessing to you and to yours. Enjoy.
Concept or ideas about what peace looks like. What I want to look at this morning is what Jesus teaches us about peace and how we make our way into, that's really the body of the message, is how we make our way into the peace of God, how to live in the peace of God. Peace, but not like that. The Gospel of John chapter 14 and verse 27. Is where we'll start today. John 14, 27. If you have a red letter edition, these words are in red in your Bible. These are the words of Jesus. And Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." Listen to this. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let's pray about it, and then we'll talk about it. Father God, we are grateful to be in your house with your people. We're thankful for Holy Scripture and the truth that that brings to us. And we pray now by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would speak life to us in Jesus' name. We pray that you would bring us your peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord God, I pray that anything that would hinder us from receiving your truth tonight would be cast out, and your truth would rule and reign in this house today. I pray, God, that you would anoint my lips to say all the words that you would have me to say, and that you would anoint your people's ears to hear and hearts to receive. And I pray that your living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be among us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I ask all these things in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Peace, but not like that. The world has a peace that they will offer us. I want to tell us, to start off this morning, the definition of two different kinds of peace. So if we look up peace in the dictionary, in Webster's dictionary, here's what we would find. Peace means freedom from disturbance, noise, or irritation. Freedom from disturbance, noise, or irritation. That all sounds good, but most of that definition is outside of our control. What I hope to talk to us about today is how to live in the peace of God when there is disturbance, when there is noise, and when there is irritation. How do I live in peace when all around me is not peace? I want to say it this way. How do I live in peace when all around me is chaos? How do I live in peace in a world gone mad, in a community gone mad, in a house gone mad? How do I live in peace? Well, let me give you the definition of Jesus' peace. This is the definition of the Greek word that Jesus uses here in John 14, 27, when he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." I love this definition. I'm going to try the Greek word. Are you ready? Irena. Irena. Look at your neighbor. I felt like I was preparing these notes last night, and I thought, I'm going to tell them to look at their neighbor a couple times today. Look at your neighbor and say, Irena. Irena. Oh, man, you're putting a little Egyptian accent on it. It's a Greek word. Let's help. Irena. The peace Jesus talks about here, the definition means to join. That's strange. That's a strange definition for peace. It means to join, or it means to set at one again. The peace that Jesus is inviting us into in John 14, 27 is not a peace where all of the chaos stops, where all the disturbances magically go away, where all the noise is silenced. The peace that Jesus invites us into is the peace of himself. He says, join me and find peace. We're getting ahead of ourselves, but he is the Prince of Peace. That is a messianic prophecy of the incarnation, that his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the peace of God, the peace that Jesus invites us into, is irena. It's not a silencing of the noise. It's an invitation into the relationship to the one that speaks and the storm is still. Amen. To join, to set at one again. I need to say a few things before we get to the points of our message today. I want to say this morning that that drink might bring you temporary escape, but it won't bring you peace. Some of these things I'm going to say two or three times. Are you ready? I'm going to say it again. I said that drink might bring you temporary escape, but it won't bring you peace. That relationship might quiet the longings of your heart for a little while, but it won't bring you peace. More money might give you the illusion of freedom, but it won't bring you more peace. What I'm trying to preach to us this morning is peace, but not like that. Not this pseudo peace, not this temporary peace, not this peace that can be taken away. So let me say this and then we'll get to the message. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the presence of Jesus in the midst of your trouble. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the presence of Jesus in the midst of your trouble. Peace isn't a temporary reprieve from conflict. Oh, this is my favorite thing in my notes. Are you ready? Peace is not the temporary reprieve from conflict. Peace is knowing that the battle is already won. I can live in peace in the middle of conflict and trouble and pain and tribulation because I know that the battle is already won. True peace is not dictated by our situation. Peace is living in the hope of our salvation. And if you are wondering, man, did that rhyme? Yes, it did rhyme. True peace is not dictated by our situation. True peace is living in the hope of our salvation. Amen. Amen. So what I want to do for the next, oh, I don't know, 5 minutes or so. Okay, 20 minutes or so. Okay, 30 minutes or so. What I want to do for the next little while is hopefully by the power of the Holy Spirit to show us a pathway to living in peace. And I say that, and that sounds arrogant, and I don't mean to sound arrogant. This is a pathway that Scripture lays out for us of how we live into the peace of God. Point number one, peace is connection. Peace is connection. Jesus says in John 16, 33, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I know I say it every time I read this verse, but I'm going to say it again this morning. This is one of the least liked promises of Jesus. In the world, you will have tribulation. That is a promise from the red letters. That is a promise from Jesus. And that is a promise you will never find on your Hobby Lobby pillow. Let me move this in the world, you'll have trouble pillow so I can have a seat. That is a promise from Jesus. But in the midst of that trouble, he invites us into his peace. He invites us to join him. What does he say? I have said these things to you that in me, you may have peace. What does in him mean? What does that mean to us to be in Christ? Well, let me lay out three things just real quick. Let me just name them for us. I think in him means in his will. As we are living into the will of God, as we come out of self-will, as we lay down self-will and live in the will of God, we find peace in his will. Amen. Been in his will. I've been outside of his will. Come on. I've been in his will. I've been outside of his will. And in his will, I find peace. In his will, I find contentment. Out of his will, I find destruction. I find heartbreak. I find heartache. I find pain. I find destruction. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God's will for me is life. But I can live in my will, or I can live in his will. In me, Jesus says, you may have peace. The second in, I want to talk about what does it mean to be in Christ? In his presence. Scripture says that in his presence is fullness of joy and life evermore. I want to live into the presence of God. I want to cultivate, and that's a word we're going to use later on, but I want to cultivate the presence of God around me. I want to create an atmosphere in my life. As a pastor, I want to create an atmosphere in this church where the presence of God can rule and reign and God can have his way. But for you as individuals, I want you to cultivate an atmosphere in your life and in your homes and in your workplace and in your classrooms. I want you to cultivate an atmosphere where the presence of God is welcome. In him means in his presence. And this could be a whole message in and of itself, but let me just give you one little clue here before we move on. I won't live in his presence until I make myself aware of his presence. I won't live in his presence until I make myself aware of his presence. What am I trying to say to you? Well, Scripture says that since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that God has filled all things with himself. So no matter where you are, there he is. The disconnect is that I'm not always aware that he is there. It is rhyming day today. I'm not always aware that he is there, right? So we sing that song, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. And the bridge says, let us become more aware of your presence. And that's what I'm talking about here today. That yes, to live in peace is to live in him, in his will, and to live in his presence. Disciples are going through a storm. There's a couple different storm narratives in the New Testament and the Gospels that the disciples are going through. On this particular occasion, Jesus is with them. And they see the storm. And they are throwing the gear overboard. I'll never understand that logic, but this is what they're doing. They're throwing their things off of the boat. I guess in hopes to make the boat lighter, but they're tossing their stuff over the edge. And all of a sudden, this is amazing. Let's try to make this connection if we can. All of a sudden, as they're living in the chaos of worry, as they're living in the chaos of fear, they're tossing their goods off of the boat in just a last-ditch effort to save themselves. And all of a sudden, it comes to them, where's Jesus? Can we make the connection to our lives? Has there ever been a time in your life when you're going through a storm and you tried to do all that you can do? And all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait a minute. Where's Jesus? I've already thrown my stuff off the boat. Where's Jesus? I've already made more of a mess than it was to begin with. Now where's Jesus? And Jesus is at peace in the bow of the boat. He's in peace in the bow of the boat. As the storm brews, I think you can say that. As the storm brews, they forget that Jesus is with them. To live in his presence is to live aware that Jesus is with you. And so they wake Jesus up. Right? I love what they say because it's so relatable. Don't you care? Let's go King James. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now let's go modern. Don't you care that we're going to die? Right? Jesus rises. He's always been capable. He's always been present. They just weren't aware. They were in his presence without being in his presence. They were in his presence without being in his presence. And Jesus, the Prince of Peace, as he always does, stands on the bow of the ship. Oh, you of little faith. What's he say? Peace. Peace be still. And the storm ceases. To live in him is to live in his will and to live in his presence. We got to move on. To live in him finally is to live in his life. We're still on point number one, by the way. This is just three things in. To live in him is to live in his life. And here's what I found as I was making these notes. I was kind of doing a little bit of reflection on my own life. I have been in a place in my life where I have been in his will. And I've been in his presence. I've been aware that he is there. But I have not been in his life. There is a place in our Christian walk that we can be in the will of God, be in the presence of God, but still allow our frantic personality to take over and not find the peace and the contentment that Jesus is there to bring us. To be in his life is to live in the contentment of his will and the contentment of his presence. To be in Christ is to be in his will and be in his presence and live in the contentment of the life that he brings to us. We got to wrap up point number one. I wish I could spend more time there. But Jesus says, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. And I know you've heard me say this before, but it's worth saying again. If Jesus says you may have peace, the other side of that coin is that you may not have peace. In the world, you will have trouble. You may have peace, but you may not have peace. Jesus leaves this choice up to us. And here's how I want to say it, and we'll move on to point number two, but I love this. Nothing can steal your peace. Peace is not an object to be stolen from you. I've heard people say, well, that just took my peace. Nothing can steal your peace. Jesus said that. What did he say? Let's go back up there. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. I give it to you. Nothing can steal your peace. But listen now. Things can steal your attention. Nothing can steal your peace, but things can steal your attention. Peace is always there. Peace is always available. But things can steal my attention. And that leads us to point number two today, that is, peace is contemplation. The prophet Isaiah said it like this in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. It's as my attention is turned to the goodness of God. It's as my attention is turned to the Savior. It's as I contemplate, not on the problem, but on the solution, that I live into the peace of God. So peace is contemplation. Yes, peace is connection, being in Christ, but peace is also keeping my mind on him. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I love the way that the psalmist said it in Psalm 4, verse 8. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. I don't know about you, but the greatest turmoil of my mind and heart happens when I lay down to sleep. When everything gets quiet, when I finally refreshed Facebook for the last time. That's when my thoughts can go one way or the other. And what the psalmist says is that in peace, I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. Peace is a state of a state of contemplation where my mind is set on God. And when my mind is set on God, no matter what is happening, no matter what is going on around me, all I can see is His goodness. All I can see is His greatness. All I can see is that, as I said earlier, the battle is already won. So we set our minds on the goodness of God. And finally, just kidding, we have 4 points today. Number three, peace is cultivation. We cultivate peace. Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. There's a great mistake that we can make in Christianity if we're not careful. Jesus did not say, "Blessed are the peace keepers." He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Peacekeeping will make you compromise. I said, peacekeeping will make you compromise. You will do things that you hadn't ought to do in order to keep the peace. Y'all ought to be saying amen way louder than that, because y'all know what I'm talking about. I said, we have to be careful not to just be peacekeepers. The command of Jesus here is not to be a peacekeeper, because we will compromise in order to keep the peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. That means that we don't just go along to get along with everything that happens, but that means that we have the wisdom and the words of the Spirit to bring peace to where there ought to be conflict. Because some people don't want peace. Some people don't want peace. Paul said in Romans 12, if possible, if possible, so far as it depends on you. I love those caveats from Paul. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all people. Here's what I want to say to us this morning. Those people that don't want peace, I must not give those people control over my peace. Amen. Those people that don't want peace, those people that want conflict, that want drama, that want to stir the pot, I must not give those people control over my peace. Amen. James 3:18 says this, "A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." There's our peacemakers again, right? "A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." I cannot sow anger, hatred, and vengeance and expect peace. I cannot sow anger, hatred, and vengeance and expect peace. And when I give other people control of my peace, when I give other people control of my peace, I will always react the way that I feel they have reacted to me. I will always give anger for anger, rage for rage, retribution for retribution, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But peace sown bears the fruit of righteousness. That's what James says. Peace sown bears the fruit of righteousness. So they come and arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Peter takes his sword and slices one of the guards' ears off. Sounds painful. Jesus reaches down and picks up this piece of ear and puts it back on the guard and brings healing to what Peter has harmed. Thank God that Jesus can bring healing even to the things that I have harmed. Amen. And he says, Peter, put up your sword. Those who live by the sword die by the sword. We sow peace. And when we sow peace, we reap the fruit of righteousness. Peace is cultivation. If I want peace, I can't sow discord. That's what I'm trying to preach. If I sow discord, I shouldn't expect peace. If I sow revenge, I shouldn't expect peace. Peace is cultivated, my friends. Finally, point number four. This much notes. I'm doing pretty good. Let's refresh. Peace is connection. Peace is contemplation. Peace is cultivation. And finally, He is our peace. Capital H. Mm-hmm. He is our peace. I quoted it earlier, but let's look at it again. Isaiah 9:6. This is about 700 years before Jesus is born. The prophet Isaiah says this, "For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Along with all of the things that Jesus has done for us, one thing, again, that he has shown us is how to live this life. And today, for today's purposes, he has shown us how to live this life in the way of peace. But because I believe that peace is a way. I believe that peace is a way of being. He is the Prince of Peace. And finally, from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2:14, we're almost done. Paul says, For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who are near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Jesus is our peace. Nobody can steal your peace. But you can be distracted. Are you settling for temporary peace? Are you settling for things that will make you feel better in the moment, but won't last? Jesus came to this earth that you and I might live in the peace of God that passes all understanding. We're getting ready to celebrate Christmas just in a couple weeks now. A day when the Prince of Peace came to this earth. And as we just read in Ephesians, brought peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. And Jesus made peace possible. Not just this way. I know we think about that a lot. Peace between us and God. And that's right. But Jesus also came to bring peace this way. Peace this way, right? And as I live in Him, I can be a person of peace. As I live in Him, no one else can control my peace. The storms can rage against me. All things can happen, be said, whatever. And I can live in the peace of God. And listen to me, friends. This is not a formula of just follow these steps. This is an invitation to invite the Spirit of God to bring you peace. Because this kind of peace is a supernatural work.
Hey, it's Pastor Garlock again. I wanted to invite you to one of our worship services. We worship every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. as well as throughout the week, we offer children's programs, Bible study, and small groups. We hope to see you soon here at First Christian Church.